So our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Let us listen for God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I was surprised to realize this week that tomorrow is July 15th, the traditional midpoint of summer. Of course, our kids just got out of school 3 weeks ago, so maybe August 1st is a more accurate midpoint for them, but still, it already feels like the summer is flying by. We made it through the graduation festivities. We already went on one of our two family vacations for the summer, and we just wrapped up a great week of vacation Bible school. Phew! Looking ahead, our youth and adults leave for the Presbyterian Youth Triennium tomorrow. In 2 weeks, our mission team leaves for Dominican Republic. Garrett Artman, our new director of music ministry, begins on August 1st. And worship design, Sunday school, and adult ed are already busy planning for the fall and a new program year. I was chatting with Pastor Dave, as I said before, from the Lutheran Church on Friday, and he commented, "People always talk about things slowing down in the summer, but I have yet to see that slowdown." I would agree. The schedule changes, there are maybe a few less meetings and Bible studies, the vibe is more casual and relaxed, but there's still a lot happening at church during the summer. Just look outside at the construction. All of this is why today we are going to take a little break. We're going to pause and enjoy a midsummer celebration of all that has happened and all that will happen in the coming weeks. And then we're going to top it all off with ice cream, courtesy of our stewardship commission. We're going to stop, we're going to look around, and we're going to check in with ourselves and our church. I think that's what Paul was trying to do with the Colossians in our scripture passage today. Now, Paul did not start the Colossian church himself. It had probably been planted by his buddy Epaphras, whom Paul had converted and worked with in Ephesus. While Paul went on to evangelize the bigger cities of Galatia to the west and Corinth to the east, the Ephesian church was a beehive of missionary activity, sending folks out to all the smaller towns in the area. Paul might have visited the Colossian church at some point on his journeys, we don't really know. What we do know is that his friend Epaphras kept Paul informed about what was going on there. Paul most likely wrote this letter to the Colossians while he was sitting in prison in Rome many years later. Even though he was confined to house arrest, Paul kept up a lively correspondence with all of his co-workers and churches all over the Roman Empire. In our passage today, Paul was writing to check in with the saints at the Colossian church, to let them know that he and Timothy were well aware of their faith and the fruit it was bearing, and that they would be praying for the Colossian church as they continued to live out the faith, hope, and love that they had received. Paul addresses his letter not just to the church or its members or the people there, but to the saints and to the faithful brothers and sisters in faith. Thinking back to our study on the Apostles' Creed during Lent, who are the saints? Are they perfect people? Right. Have they been canonized by any official entity?
No.
Who are the saints? All of them. All of the imperfect and ordinary people like you and me, with their eccentricities and annoying habits, who have committed their lives to loving God and following Jesus and trying to do that together in community. So after his usual salutation, grace to you and peace from God our Father, Paul begins with giving thanks. Thanks for the Colossians' faith and the love they show one another. Thanks for the fruit that it is bearing. Thanks for the gospel message and the hope of their salvation, which grounds everything they believe and do. Thanks for Epaphras and the good work that he has done among them. On this Midsummer Sunday, Paul invites us, the saints and faithful brothers and sisters here at the First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown, to stop and to give thanks also. As you think about this church and its ministry, this congregation, and all of the imperfect and ordinary people here, and our amazing God, what do you celebrate? What are you thankful for? I'm going to give you a minute to think about it, and then if anybody wants to share what you're thankful for, raise your hand. What do you have to celebrate here? What are you thankful for? Connie?
My disciple study group.
Our disciple Bible study group.
That we have this place to worship.
That we have this place to worship. Deanna?
Music,
Deanna?
Good health.
Good health.
Good weather.
Good weather.
I'm really thankful that every time there's something has to be done that I'm involved with, that there's always a team.
So every time there's a task to be done, there's always a team that gets together to do the task. Others, yeah. Our youth and the energy that they bring and the fun that our children and youth bring. Yeah, Abby.
Open minds and open hearts.
Open minds and open hearts. Gordon.
My extended family, the teens here.
The fact that we often feel like we are extended family to one another. Yeah, it's powerful. So keep thinking about, I invite you to keep thinking about those things throughout the course of this service. This Thanksgiving, it lays the foundation for what Paul says next. And this kind of goes along with our stewardship theme from last fall and our campaign. Paul grounds who he is and everything he has to say to his churches in gratitude. And that's where we began last fall, and that's where we should begin every Sunday, grounded in gratitude. Paul goes on to pray that you, the Colossians, and anyone reading this letter, that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, that you may bear fruit in every good work and keep growing in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. It's kind of like Paul is writing, don't stop now. Keep on living your faith. Keep on loving one another. Keep on holding on to hope. Keep on seeking God's will and wisdom and growing in your understanding of our amazing God. keep on bearing fruit and doing good works and leading lives that are worthy of and pleasing to the God who has given us this new and abundant life. Have they fruit? According to Episcopal priest Nathan Kirkpatrick, this was the question that John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church way back in the 1700s, this is the question he used to ask anyone who wanted to be a preacher. Have they fruit? Could those who were seeking ordination show anything for their service? Was there at least one person who had found faith through the word they proclaimed? A single person whose spiritual practices had been enlivened by what they taught? A hungry person who had found bread? A homeless person who found shelter? Was there any sign that the ministry exercised by this person was waking the world to the dream of God? Kirkpatrick goes on to say that this is a great question for churches to ask themselves too. Have we fruit? He writes, imagine the discussion that would ensue at the next administrative board or church council meeting if the question were asked, where's the fruit? Imagine the conversation if the topic at the meeting became, what evidence is there? What can we point to that demonstrates that the community in which we live is better, healthier, and more faithful because of the presence of our church? Are our ministries making any kind of difference to our neighbors? Is the Spirit through us actually changing lives, deepening faith, seeding hope in this neighborhood? Or are we just taking up space on a corner in town, an antiquated placeholder on this block? I imagine a lively scene as a congregation deliberates and discusses its missional role in its own context, all the while answering the question, have we fruit? This Midsummer Sunday seems like a good time to ask ourselves, have we fruit? What fruit are we bearing? Anyone who attended, helped with, or stopped by VBS this past week certainly saw a lot of fruit. Excited children, committed teen and adult helpers, shooting stars, and good news that really was out of this world. In just a few minutes, we will commission 18 youth and adults to attend the Presbyterian Youth Triennium and join together with thousands of other youth and adults from all around the country as we give our hearts to God through worship, fellowship, and service. Today, we also commission a team of 14 adults and youth to travel to the Dominican Republic to build not just a house, but relationships with people in very different circumstances from our own. And then we will hear an update from our stewardship commission, highlighting the generosity of this congregation, not just in your annual giving, but also in your above and beyond giving to our capital campaign, which is building a foundation for our future ministry and mission here. So, saints of First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown, have we fruit? You bet we do. Is there still more learning and growing, worshiping and serving to do?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's why we all still need to keep praying that prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians, that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we might be made strong with the strength that comes from God's glorious power, that we might be ready to endure everything with patience, staying on track, joyfully giving thanks to God, living our faith, loving one another and our neighbors, holding on to the hope of the gospel which has been given to us. All that we may lead lives worthy of the Lord and all of the blessings that God has given us at this church. So let's take a moment today to stop and celebrate the fruit that we have borne and the fruit that is yet to come. And then let's say our prayers and get some ice cream. Amen.